I'm Rob. How do we implement binary search? Let's find out. So, note that this search we're going to implement recursively. You could also implement binary search iteratively. So if you did that, that's perfectly fine. Now first, let's remember what the parameters to search are meant to be. Here we see int value, which is supposed to be the value the user is searching for. We see the int values array, which is the array in which we're searching for value. And we see int n, which is the length of our array. Now, first thing first, we check to see if n equals 0, in which case we return false. That's just saying if we have an empty array, value is clearly not in an empty array, so we can return false. Now we actually want to do the binary search part of binary search. So we want to find the middle element of this array. Here we say int middle equals n divided by 2, since the middle element is going to be the length of our array divided by 2. Now we're going to check to see if the middle element equals the value we're searching for. So if values middle equals value, we can return true since we found the value in our array. But if that wasn't true, now we need to do the recursive step of binary search. We need to search either to the left of the array or to the middle of the array. So here we say if values at middle is less than value, that means that value was greater than the middle of the array, so value must be to the right of what the element that we just looked at. So here we're going to search recursively, and we'll look at what we're passing to this in a second, but we're going to search to the right of the middle element. And in the other case, that means that value was less than the middle of the array, and so we're going to search to the left. Now, the left is going to be a bit easier to look at. So we see here that we're recursively calling search, where the first argument is, again, the value we're looking over. The second argument is going to be the array that we were searching over. And the last element now is middle. Remember, the last parameter is our int n. So that's the length of our array. In the recursive call to search, we're now saying that the length of the array is middle. So if our array was of size 20, and we searched at index 10, since middle is 20 divided by 2, that means we're passing 10 as the new length of our array. And remember that when you have an array of length 10, that means the valid elements are in indices 0 through 9. So this is exactly what we want to specify our updated array, the left array from the middle element. So looking to the right is a bit more difficult. Now, first let's consider the length of the array to the right of the middle element. So if our array was of size n, then the new array will be of size n minus middle minus 1. So let's think of n minus middle. Again, if the array were of size 20, and we divide by 2 to get the middle, so we middle is 10, then n minus middle is going to give us 10, so 10 elements to the right of middle. But we also have this minus 1, since we don't want to include the middle itself, so n minus middle minus 1 gives us the total number of elements to the right of the middle index in the array. Now here, remember that the middle parameter is the values array. So here, we're passing an updated values array. This values plus middle plus 1 is actually saying recursively call search, passing in a new array, where that new array starts in the middle plus 1 of our original values array. An alternate syntax for that, now that you've started to see pointers, is ampersand values middle plus 1. So grab the address of the middle plus 1 element of values. Now, if you weren't comfortable using or modifying an array like that, you could also have implemented this using a recursive helper function, where that helper function takes more arguments. So instead of taking just the value, the array, and the size of the array, the helper function could take more arguments, including the lower bound, so the lower index that you care about in the array, and the upper index that you care about in the array. And so keeping track of both the lower index and the upper index, you don't need to ever modify the original values array. You can just continue to use the values array. But here, notice we don't need a helper function as long as we're willing to modify the original values array. We're willing to pass in an updated values. How can we implement sorting in O of n? Well, you can count on counting sort. So note that it's really impossible to sort any array in less than O of n log n. So merge sort is really the asymptotically best that you can do. So how can we possibly have an algorithm that sorts in O of n? Well, we take advantage of some things that we know about the array. For example, in this problem, we know that there is a limit on the maximum value in the array. We see up top that we have hash defined the limit as 65536. So we can use that to implement a sorting algorithm in O of n. Now, here we see that we're declaring an array of size limit, so an array with 65,536 spaces, and initializing it all to 0. Now, we're going to iterate over our entire values array, and this is a bit of a confusing line. So what is this doing? Now, we're taking values I, so we're looking at the value in the array we're iterating over, and we're using that as the index into our counting array and incrementing that. So if values I is 7, then we're going to increment counting array at index 7. So what is that accomplishing? Now, after this for loop, the idea is that counting array will contain at index 0 the number of zeros that we want in our sorted array, at index 1 the number of ones we want in our sorted array, and so on. So looking at this for loop, now we're going to use counting array to regenerate our values array, but sorted. So here we're creating two variables, int I equals 0 and index equals 0, where I is what we're going to use to iterate over values, and index is what we're going to use to iterate over our counting array. Notice that we're incrementing index here, so we're iterating over our entire counting array in the outer loop, but we're continuing until I is less than n, which means once we've inserted all of the elements into our sorted array, we're done. So here, for int j equals 0, j is less than counting array index j++, we are inserting into the values array index. Again, this is saying if counting array at index 6 has value 10, then we're going to loop 10 times, inserting into our values array 10 of that index, 10 sixes. So notice the I++ is going to increment I, so we don't just write into the same place in the values array over and over again. This could have also been written such that we're iterating until we go over the entire counting array, but the reason we choose to go over from or all the way up to I is less than n is because, well, what if all of the elements in our counting array, or all of the elements in our sorted array, just happen to be less than 100? Then by the time we go through the first 100 indices of our counting array, we will already have filled up our entire values array, but then we're going to keep iterating over the next 65,400 elements in the counting array, which are all going to be 0. So this is just a bit more efficient. My name is Rob Bowden, and this was Counting Sort.